Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope you were somewhat intrigued by the sermon title. Obviously, someone who likes dogs and doesn't like cats found this slide. But our title this morning is of a serious nature. It is Get Over Yourself. Based on our Psalm 23 continuing sermon series today, finding our theme in verse 3. Verse 3 reads, He guides me in the paths of righteousness, and here's the phrase, for His name's sake. I invite you to follow the sermon outline on the back of your folder as we consider this message together. Humility. When you look up the definition of humility in the dictionary, here's what you find. The state or quality of being humble in spirit. Freedom from pride and arrogance. An act of submission or courtesy. Have you heard the story about the boy in school, in grade school, who got the award for being the most humble boy in school? But he had the badge taken away when he proudly wore it wherever he went. Now, something similar happened to my favorite modern Christian author. His name is Max Lucado. He shares this story about himself. He had taken a retreat to a small nearby town to work on another one of his books. He's a famous author. He's written countless books. He's known all over North America. He's known all across Christian denominations. He went to this small town, and that morning, he went into the small town cafe to have some breakfast before he started working. And when he walked into the cafe, he noticed people really were looking at him and staring at him. When he walked into the cafe, one woman did a double take as he walked by. When he went by another table where two men were sitting, they stopped their conversation and they pointed at him. When the waitress came to bring him her the menu, she didn't give it to him till after she carefully studied his face. And while Max was eating his breakfast, he caught more than a few glances of people looking his way while he was eating his own breakfast. Why the attention? Oh, he figured it must be that this little town was a town of readers, and they recognized his face from the jacket cover of one of his many books. Ah, he really started to feel full of himself. Surely these people know a good writer when they see one. Autographs, anybody? When he went to the cash register to pay his bill, he smiled and nodded at people who were still looking at him. And the woman who took his money at the till began to speak, but then she suddenly went quiet as she looked at him. And he figured that she must have been overwhelmed in his presence. It was only when he stopped in the washroom on his way out that he saw the real reason for all of the attention. Because when he looked into the mirror, he saw that there was a huge ribbon of dried blood from his chin to his neck, all the way down the collar of his shirt. It was huge. It was red. It was obvious. It was quite humbling. Oh, the things that God will do to keep us humble. And he does it for our own good, because the truth is, pride and arrogance do us little, if any, good. And God doesn't just dislike or disapprove of these characteristics, he hates them. Listen to Holy Scripture. Proverbs 18:3 says, I, the Lord, hate pride and arrogance. Proverbs 16:5 says, the Lord despises pride. Philippians 2:3 tells us, do nothing out of vain conceit. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And finally, the one that you all have been waiting for. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride comes before the fall. Now, the truth be told, and it's really important during this Lenten season, we think about this. The truth be told, we don't have anything to be prideful or arrogant about. This is yet another lesson of the Psalm 23 psalm that's a series that our sermons are based on for all of these months. Psalm 23 has told us and will tell us we have rest. We have salvation. We have blessings. We have a home in heaven. And we did nothing to earn any of it. Who did the work? The answer threads its way through this psalm like a silk thread is woven through a string of pearls. The psalm says, He makes me to lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. Lord, You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Lord, You prepare a table. You anoint my head with oil. My friends, we are not the ones who deserve the applause. And just to make sure we get the point, right in the middle of the psalm, David tells us who does deserve the applause. He tells us that the Lord our shepherd leads His sheep. Not for our name's sake, but how does the verse end? For His name's sake. Now, what does this Old Testament expression mean? For your name's sake, for His name's sake. Just a few Bible passages. Jeremiah 14, verse 7 says, O Lord, although our sins testify against us, act for Your name's sake. The prophet Jeremiah comes humbly before God and says, God, we are guilty. We have sinned. We deserve Your punishment. But, O Lord, please have mercy. Please forgive us for Your name's sake. For the glory and praise of Your name. Because that's the kind of God that You are. Jeremiah continues in 14:21, Do not despise us, O Lord, for Your own name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of Your glory. Joshua 7:9 says, O Lord, the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land will hear of it. And what will that do for Your name's sake? Both Joshua and Jeremiah, get this, remind God. Talk about being bold. Both Jeremiah and Joshua remind God that in granting forgiveness and mercy, His reputation is made great. His name is made great among all the nations. In Isaiah 48:9-11, God says this, For the sake of my name, I delay my wrath. For my own name's sake, I will act and restrain it from you. How can my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. God tells His sinful and rebellious people that His glory and His reputation is at stake. It is His nature to show mercy and forgiveness. And by not doing so, God says, it's His name that's drug in the mud. Now, what have we learned? God doing something for His name's sake means He does it because that's who He is. He is mercy. He is forgiveness. And in showing mercy and forgiveness, God alone gets all the honor and praise. Now, why? Does God have an ego problem? No. But we do. Pride and arrogance do us little, if any, good. In fact, it does us harm. I was reminded of this when I came across this week, this next little story. A little boy in grade 2 had won a talent contest at school. And his prize at school for winning the talent contest was a big, beautiful, luscious, moist coconut cake. And guess what he wanted to do with that cake in one sitting? Oink, oink, oink! He wanted to eat it all by himself. Rob Roy, does that sound familiar? Not half of it. Not a piece of it. All of it. After all, he'd won it. He was the star. He deserved it. But do you know what his parents did? They took the cake. They knew it wouldn't be good for him to gobble it all down in one sitting. So they thanked God for the gifts he gave their son, and they rationed the cake. He got a piece. His little sister got a piece. And they put some of it away for another day. Here was the point. They wanted to make sure that the little boy didn't get sick on his own pride and his own success. God does the same thing. God takes the cake. He gets the praise and glory. Not because he needs it, but because he knows we can't handle it. Psalm 23 says this. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He guides us and cares for us and has mercy upon us for His name's sake, because that's His nature, because that's who He is. He is mercy and care. And He rightly gets the glory for it, not us. Every blessing we enjoy in this life comes from God's gracious hand to ours. And that's why St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:13, verse 31, I should say, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, if you've dozed off, now it's time to tune in. Because in Luke chapter 18, our Lord Jesus tells us a parable. The parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector who go into the temple to pray. The Pharisee, filled with self-pride and boasting, stands so everybody can see him and hear him and says, I thank God I'm not like all these people. And he enumerates a whole bunch, finally ending with, especially I thank God I'm not like that tax collector. I fast 2 times a week. I tithe 10% of all that I have. I thank God I'm such a wonderful person. But in that parable, we find the tax collector standing afar off from all the others, with his head at his feet and his hand beating his breast, and he simply says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. At the end of this parable, Jesus asks a question, and I quote, which one of these two went home right with God? I tell you, this man went home right in God's sight, not the other. And here comes the clincher. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now here's where I ask the personal question. Do we, in our sinful pride, ever sound like, or ever feel like, that prideful Pharisee? I thank you, God, that the world has people like me. Yep, I'm a fine churchgoer. A fine person I am, not like that bloody beggar at the SkyTrain station always asking for change. Not like that dark-skinned foreign immigrant who comes to our country, can't even speak the language and isn't even Christian, for goodness sakes. Not like that obvious homosexual who waited on me in the clothing store. I thank you, God, that the world has people like me. Do fine church folks ever sound like the Pharisee in the temple? I'll let you answer the question. And God says, when we do, we have eaten that entire cake of self-pride. We've eaten that entire cake in one sitting. and it has made us sick. Sick and blind to our own sin and our own unrighteousness. And we are brought to our knees in humble repentance as we take to heart what John 3:16 tells us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. God loves every single person in this world. Yes, that beggar at the train station. Yes, that foreign immigrant. Yes, that person whose lifestyle is not what it should be. The Bible makes it clear, for God so loved the world. And let me tell you a secret. A secret that shouldn't be a secret. The reason our church exists, the reason God has placed this congregation in this community is this. Not just to take care of ourselves. Not just to increase our attendance and boost the budget. But to love and to serve and to reach out to our sinful, dying world, our neighbors who are dying apart from the love of Christ and who are heading to an eternity of hell apart from God forever. As was the theme of our adult Bible class this morning, it's not all about us. God loves all sinners so much. Look, God has loved all sinners so much that He sent Jesus to die upon the cross for all of our sins. And if we looked honestly into a mirror and into the mirror of our soul and see our sins, we will not be able to stand loudly and proudly bragging with the Pharisee in the temple. We will have to find ourselves with the tax collector saying, God, be merciful upon me, a sinner. And as we do, the Scripture says, as we do, like the tax collector, we will go home from this place right in the eyes of God. To the humble, God gives His greatest treasures. He gives honor. Proverbs 15:33 says, humility goes before honor. He gives wisdom. Proverbs 11:2 says, with the humble is wisdom. He gives direction. Psalm 25:9 says, God teaches the humble His way. He gives grace. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God gives grace to the humble. Today our Lord invites us to look into a mirror and say to the person we see in that mirror the words of our sermon title, get over yourself. And we can do that each day as we live at the foot of the cross. When we can confess each and every day the third verse of that old hymn, Rock of Ages, that says this, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Or as St. Paul says in Galatians 6:14, let me boast in nothing except the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. As Psalm 23 so gently but clearly reminds us, the Lord our shepherd guides me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For His name's sake. Because that's the kind of loving and merciful God He is. And let me end with this. Every once in a while, Because God loves us so much, He directs us to look into a washroom mirror and with great humbleness to wipe our own chins, to laugh at ourselves, to thank Him for His love and His patience. In the name of Jesus, it's not all about us. Get over yourselves. It's all about Jesus. Amen.